Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Support for this show comes from Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually, we're great, but together, we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Yeah.
Yes.
Banging. That's some banging music for this banging preview show that we have come people's way for our banging event on Saturday night. I will stop using that word. I apologize. This is the voice of Alexander K. Lee here serving as your host for this Triller Fight Club Holyfield versus Belfort Legends 2 of boxing event that's going down on Saturday, this preview show. I am joined by Michael Heck, who is my best friend and who is on site in Hollywood, Florida right now for the show. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm in Fort Lauderdale right now.
Okay.
That's where I am. Not far from Hollywood, which is where the event takes place tomorrow night. But yeah, it's Fort Lauderdale is a beautiful spot, especially where we're at right now. The Marriott, but here we are. This is the only place I could do this right now with the Wi-Fi and everything going on in the world. But thank you for hosting it, Kay. It's been a crazy week.
Yeah, looks you've got a luxurious background behind you. And joining us, Mike, is the best producer in the business, one Mr. E. Casey Lyle.
Boxing, boxing with MMA people. Boxing, boxing with MMA
yes, I'm,
people.
Casey, I'm wearing the wrong shirt today. I'm wearing one of our MMA shirts. And we're not really discussing strictly MMA today, though there's certainly, it's an MMA-flavored product, as I'm sure most people would agree, heavily MMA-flavored. Three of the four headliners, of course, much more well-known for their exploits in the MMA world than they are in boxing, but they are now dipping their toes into this world. We've got some strange, I mean, this is a strange situation in the main event. Let's just say it. This was supposed to be a Vitor Belfort versus Oscar De La Hoya, which isn't
in Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles,
down the
California.
Street, I was supposed to be there.
You,
not Mr. Heck. Mr. Heck is taking all my opportunities. What I've worked for.
All right. However, less than 2 weeks ago, like 10 days ago, I think.
It was literally a week ago.
Oscar De La Hoya did test positive for COVID-19, had to be hospitalized for it. I believe he's out of the hospital now. He's doing better, thank goodness, but could not participate in this. And they'll just bump up Anderson Silva, Tito Ortiz fight to the main event and figure something out. They said, no, we want Vitor to be able to box. So we're going the other way with it. We're going towards a heavyweight, light heavyweight range, and we're bringing in the real deal, Evander Holyfield, 58 years old, about a month away from his 59th birthday. So that's what we ended up with. Mike, let's just go. We'll talk specifically about the main event in a second, but let's go to you. How have things been in Florida, Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, everything that you've been doing? How's the vibe out there, man?
It's kind of hard to explain the vibe because we really haven't been around fans or anything like that. It's just been other media members, the fighters themselves, and the people who work for Triller and who work for Fight and people covering the event. So it's really hard to gauge like an actual vibe. From what I can say locally around here, not a lot of people know that this is happening in their backyard. They really don't. I've taken lots of Ubers and they're like, oh, what are you doing here? And I told them, I was like, Evander Holyfield's coming back to box. They said, he is here? I should have bought tickets. So I think I sold some extra tickets to the Uber drivers, but it's hard to gauge actual vibe from what, I mean, just being here, it's been a strange week. But I will say this, for an event that has changed main events, that has changed venues, that has changed coasts, they have done a pretty remarkable job organizing this whole thing. Like, everything has been organized. As chaotic as like the card seems to look on paper, the event itself, all the things surrounding the event have not been chaotic at all. It's been very interesting. Everything's been on point, and they did this all in like 3 or 4 days. I mean, I came out here Tuesday night, and this all happened Friday, and not a lot of this was finalized until Friday night. So on that end, they've done a pretty tremendous job. So my hat goes off to them. There you are. But in terms of like vibe and the people, it's kind of hard to gauge.
Yeah. How could anyone really know? Like, I wonder how much advertising they have around the city. And, you know, because again, like we said, this was a week ago. This was not only a different flight. This was in a different state. This is in California, as Casey. So Casey, I'll ask you, do you sense any disappointment that it's not happening in California? But more so, I mean, you know, more so, what's your vibe looking at like social media and just kind of things that you've seen and reading? What do you think of the people? Yeah, speak for the people, Casey, about this.
Basically, the vibe is about 50 different versions of the word train wreck. That's about it. If the event took place in LA, it still had a train wreck feel, but it made more sense. Tito was from Huntington Beach, which is only about, you know, 45 minutes away from here. Oscar being, you know, LA, you know, there's a freaking statue of Oscar outside of the Forum where he was supposed to make his comeback fight, you know. So everything kind of made sense. There would have been obviously a lot more media attention here. Thriller, it sucks. Oscar got sick. It's good that he's healthy. He's getting healthy, rather, and hopefully he fights, I guess. I don't know if it's going to be Vitor again. I doubt it now. But it's just, yeah, just basically train wreck. But Thriller, they made a decision to take it to Florida, go commission shopping. They feel like Holyfield is a, you know, a good replacement. I'm not too updated with the whole lawsuit situation. I remember reading about that before the fight happened, about Holyfield and some legal issues about having a fight. So I don't know if you guys can talk more about that, but, it's weird. It's happening. So, I mean, we're here to talk about it, but it's, train wreck.
It is apparently happening. I thought that this was never going to come together so quickly. I forgot about the power of money and of Thriller and of the great state of Florida. And so here we are. We're a day away now from this fight actually going down. Mike, now look, you sat down with Evander Holyfield. You've been around again. You've been going to all the open workouts and everything all week. Much of the talk of this week was people saw some of the Evander Holyfield open workout footage. They were a little concerned. I saw a lot of kind of comments just from whatever clip they saw saying like, oh, how could this be sanctioned? He's looking a little slow. Again, Mike, as someone who was actually there to see that in person, who's actually spoke to Evander, who's just, again, been around the fighters. Is the concern a little bit of an overreaction? And again, I get it. He is almost like 60 years old and hasn't fought in a decade. But, I mean, is he more prepared, do you think, than people are giving him credit for?
I mean, overreaction, it depends on who you talk to. Because if Evander, it is 100% an overreaction. He feels listen, it's a workout. Like, and I can tell you just from talking to people in Holyfield's camp throughout the week, all of this stuff between the workouts, the media, all of it, Holyfield is not a fan of it. He just gets through it because he has to. Not saying that like all fighters are not fans of it. Some are, some aren't. Holyfield is on the not side. So he just kind of goes through the motions and gets through the week. And all he cares about is getting in the ring and fighting. Like, that's what he does this for. So I don't know, man. Like, the interview was a little scary. I was more concerned after the interview than I was after the workout. Because the workout, you just kind of – you do whatever you want. Like, you can go out there and you just throw technique and do it in slow-mo. You can do it at 50%. And people can judge it however they want. I was obviously concerned when it was over, especially watching Vitor do his thing. But I think, like, throughout the week, Evander just basically said, like, listen, I made the choice – to do this. I made the choice to take a chance, and I've been training for a fight for 2 years. Of course, there was talks about him fighting Tyson in an exhibition. He was booked to fight Kevin freaking McBride in June. So he has been preparing to fight. It just turned out it's not the fight we expected. And he's fighting a guy with not a lot of boxing experience, but a guy who is very dangerous and very powerful. So, I mean, it really depends on who you ask. Because if you ask MMA fans, they're scared to death for Holyfield. There are some boxing pundits who feel the same way. But there are also some boxing fans who I've spoken with out here who feel like Holyfield's going to go out there and just piece up Vitor Belfort for 16 minutes. So who the hell knows? I talked to Michael Buffer about it, and his response was, what else can they do? The commission cleared it. Holyfield wants to do it. They're using the oversized gloves. Like, what else can they do in order to make this as safe as possible? So who knows, man? I'm just going in there with positive vibes and hoping that whatever happens, everyone comes out of their hole, everyone comes out of their healthy, and we can turn the page and move on to the next thing.
Yeah, that's really all that we can do. And it really struck me, Mike, what you just said about it wasn't anything physical, the workouts that concerned you. Because again, like you said, he's not going to go hard, you know, like he's taking something on a week's notice. He's just coming out to do it. He has to do it. He's going to touch the pads up a bit and however long he's, you know, contracted to do so. It's true. It's your interview with him and interviews that we saw that I think also have people concerned. This is a guy, like I said, almost 60 years old, is 59 next month, who has had, 60 pro boxing bouts, countless amateur bouts, fought in the Olympics. And again, retired 10 years ago. He came off like someone who was retired 10 years ago. I think it was very concerning. Casey, I don't know if you agree. I don't know if you saw that footage and thought, man, like what Mike said, like the interview stuff was more worrying than anything physical that we saw. Unless you think it's both of them, that's kind of, you know, giving us pause here.
I'm okay with it. Honestly, I'm not too worried for Holyfield. Maybe the interview, I don't know. What was the issue of the interview? Did people think he was like punch drunk or like
a little, just, you know, again, he just sounded a little bit quiet, a little slow. He sounded like a boxer who had been boxing for, you know, the better part of the last like 30 years. Yeah.
I took from it, this is just a guy that was just going through the motions, honestly. And he was answering, I felt like he was answering your questions, but he just wasn't maybe giving that same type of passion maybe that we expect from a main eventer. You know, like you ask Oscar a question, he'll kind of, you know, talk for a while. You ask Vitor a question, he'll answer 20 other, he'll just go on some other tangent. But you know Vitor, well, you ask Tito something, you know, I think we're just used to something. And like, honestly, I don't remember Evander's being necessarily something special or something necessarily interesting on the mic either pre-fight stuff.
Sure.
So that's why I didn't take too much into it. And as far as the workout, I felt it was a little overblown. I was expecting when I saw these people, the workout footage, and I looked at it, I was like, oh, okay, it's just, you know, he's going like 25%. And that's why I took. I'm not getting Chuck Liddell versus Tito Ortiz vibes. The third match. I'm not getting those type of vibes. I don't think Evander is that washed. Especially because this is boxing, and I'm sure we'll try to break down the fight later. But honestly, I those didn't concern me as much as those didn't concern me that much. His kind of calmness and the workout.
Oh, Casey, we're going to break down the fight now. First, we're going to do it now. But first, I do want to say, so let's talk about the odds here. I mean, that's right. So we're talking about all this public speculation. So where is it at now? Belfort opened as the favorite, if I recall, when this was sort of arranged last week. I mean, before everything was signed, which surprised a lot of people, though, again, consider he is something like 15 years younger than Evander Holyfield. He looks to be in better shape. He's competed more recently. He has he's a knockout artist.
I thought Evander looked in great shape.
I mean, at the scale, great. I mean, this morning, we'll talk about the weigh-ins too before we break it down. He looked great. I thought he looked great on the scale.
Yeah, just physically,
again, almost 59 years old. He looked pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
But depending where you look, I'm seeing the odds have, I saw then Holyfield was the favorite like within like 24 hours, and it looks like it swung back towards Belfort again, maybe because people saw things in the, you know, the public workouts, public interviews that they didn't like. It looks like it swung back towards Vitor, depending where you look. I'm seeing as high as a 2-1 favorite, slightly over 2-1. Holyfield, a 150, about around a 150 underdog. And this is going to vary depending which sites you look at. So, but yes, apparently Vitor favored heading into Saturday. Let's talk about the weigh-ins a little bit. Not just the we'll talk about that more when we talk about Silva and Ortiz actually. So let's break down the main event here a bit, guys. Mike, what do you think? Let's get to your pick here.
How do you break this down? Like, how do you break this down scientifically? You can't.
That's why I made you go
you
first.
You can't do it.
I made you.
I mean, listen. All right. I mean, here's the deal. You have Vitor Belfort who is going to come in there and he's in a big spot. He's going to make a lot of money and it's what is it, what it is. And then you got Evander Holyfield who's going to do what he's doing. And that is what it is. It's boxer versus MMA fighter. So clearly when it comes to like boxing skill, Evander Holyfield is going to be 1,000 times better than Vitor Belfort. Just the way that it is. Power wise, youth wise, that goes towards Vitor. But again, we're looking at a lot of money is probably coming in from the MMA community on Vitor that are not necessarily familiar with boxing and how boxing works and how fight weeks work. Okay. This is the first like major boxing event that I've covered, and it is very different, much different than covering a UFC card or covering a Bellator card. It is much different. So I'm learning as I go along with everybody else. At the same token, I understand the concern that a lot of people have for Evander Holyfield. At the same token, I believe there's concern from Vitor as well. Vitor, I asked Vitor the other day, is the criticism fair? Is the concern fair? And he was then sort of followed up like, you know, are you going to go out and try to hurt this guy? I don't think he is. I think Vitor is very cognizant of who he's fighting. I think Holyfield is going to go in there. And what I think is going to end up happening, even though it's sanctioned as a professional bout, what we're going to see is 8 rounds of a hard sparring match. I don't think we're going to see a full-on boxing match where two guys are going to go out there and try and knock each other's heads off. I think you're going to see that in the other fights throughout the night. You're probably in the co-main event. I don't think you're necessarily going to see this one here. I think you're going to see two guys are going to go out there and they're going to give each other some work, but I don't think we're going to see two guys giving it 100% and trying to put the other away. So I'm going to lean slightly with Holyfield based on how I think this fight's going to go. I think it's just going to be a hard sparring match. I don't think anyone's going to go out there and try to knock the other out. And I think if it's just a pure boxing sparring match, I think Holyfield will win. So I think Holyfield squeaks out like a split decision, maybe a little bit of home cooking from the boxing judges. But I mean, we're going to be singing a different, I have a feeling we're going to be singing a different tune tomorrow night in regards to this fight, being like, this was not, you know, the major damaged Evander Holyfield that everybody thinks. I don't think it's going to be as bad as people think it's going to be.
What's the official pick, Heck? What's the official pick?
I just said it. Holyfield split decision.
Holyfield's
going to squeak out a decision that we're going to argue about more than likely.
Casey, what do you think? We're getting a glorified sparring match here. A lot of respect. No one really wants to hurt each other.
What is the gloves they have to use? You said the big gloves. What, are they using 16s? What are they using?
I think it's 14s.
14. Okay, they're using 14s. Yeah. So normally if this was a normal match, I think they would be using 12s, I think. So using 12s or 8s, I'm not sure actually. But so using 14s, which is almost 16, which is like sparring gloves. How much did Evander come in at? 230?
Like 225, I think.
225. Okay, 225.
225.4, Vitor at 206.2.
206.2.
12 ounce gloves. My apologies. 12 ounce gloves.
12 ounce gloves. 12 ounce. Okay.
That's what the commission said.
When you said big gloves, I wasn't sure. Okay.
Those are bigger, I believe, though, right?
Yeah. I think normally they're fighting 8 ounces, I think. I'm actually I thought what Evander said during the press conference kind of laid it out pretty well. I think it was a press conference, or maybe it was the interview, but we said if this was a fight, of course Vitor would kick my butt. He knows how to fight. Evander Holyfield is a boxer. This is boxing. And I think Evander, he's going to be the longer, bigger guy, and he knows how to box. He knows how to do this. And I think it will be a pretty boring but dominant decision victory for Evander Holyfield. I think he will just – he knows how to use his weight. He knows – he's enough of a veteran. If he does get in a little bit of trouble, he knows how to tie up the arms. He knows how to clinch – boxing clinch, not Muay Thai clinch. And he knows how to use that weight and get Vitor tired. And he is going to be a significantly heavier guy. This is Evander's weight. You know, I mean, this is what he weighs. Vitor is essentially a 185er who's just not cutting weight, and he's fighting at 205, 206 right now. So we got like 30-something pounds. It's going to be good 30 pounds of good muscle that I think Evander will have on Vitor. And I just don't – maybe a 25-year-old Vitor could overcome that boxing gap. But I think at this age, Vitor – yeah, he's dangerous, obviously, but only if his hands. He won't be able to use his kicks. Won't be able to use any of his, you know, ground game. I think that's enough for Evander to honestly win a lackluster decision using boxing. And it's going to annoy people because boxing, the way Evander, I think, will win the fight is not that entertaining to watch. But I think Evander will win, and I think he's going to make it kind of look easy.
Guys, I think you guys present some compelling arguments for Holyfield there. I think I'm going Vitor. I'll do it. I'll be that guy. I'll be that guy. That's official, guys. When you see predictions Saturday morning, call me out if I change it. But I think I am going to lean towards Vitor. 15 years is just so much of a difference. You know, I used to think about like how much – I used to think about when McGregor and Mayweather was happening. I used to think about how old would Mayweather have to be for McGregor to have a chance to beat him in a boxing match. Yeah. And I used to think like maybe if Floyd was like 75 years old or something like that.
Floyd Senior.
Yes. So we're kind of dead. We're kind of in that range here for me with this fight where I'm like, how old would Evander Holyfield have to be for me to give Vitor Belfort a chance against him? And I would say, like 60, 65. I know he's still bigger. I know he's still in awesome shape. That's just a lot. And
did he look 65 on that? I mean, did he look 58 on that scale? Like, if you didn't tell me his age, and you're going, hey, that guy's 42 years old. That guy's the same age as Vitor. I would have gone like, okay.
Well, Vitor now looks like he's in his 30s right now.
Okay, well, that's another story.
And again, people can can judge their, you know, his workout regimen that has restored him in this way on their own. But regardless, the Vitor that I see going in here just looks more youthful, faster. I know he's nowhere near the level of boxer Holyfield is. I just have a weird feeling he's going to hurt him. He's going to do enough. Is he going to knock him out? I would also doubt it. I think you guys are right. I don't know if there's enough incentive. I don't know if either guy has enough gas to kind of go to that next level and actually put the other guy away. But I think Vitor could hurt him. I think there could be hurt him enough to win I'm going to say a non-controversial decision, a comfortable decision that has us kind of wanting to look forward to Vitor's next boxing bout and kind of hoping that Holyfield doesn't box again. But that's me. I don't know. I'm just kind of being the dissenting opinion here. So we've got two Holyfields and the one Belfort. Let's talk about the co-main guys, which to a lot of the MMA fighting community is really the main event. I mean, this is the fight that most of our listeners, readers, viewers are talking about. Anderson Silva versus Tito Ortiz. Now, when it was booked, wasn't most people's number one choice for Anderson Silva after the win over Julio Cesar Chavez? I think people had a lot of other more creative ideas in mind. Tito was a bit of an odd choice, a guy not known for his striking, and a guy who was not really near Anderson Silva's weight class, as we found out today at the weigh-ins when Tito Ortiz weighed in at 200 pounds, which was 5 pounds over the contracted weight limit, and he will forfeit, in very MMA style, will forfeit 20% of his purse to Anderson Silva. But so first I'll ask you, Mike, do you think Tito Ortiz had any intention of trying to make the weight, and do you think Anderson Silva knew that he wasn't going to make it?
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Support for this show comes from Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, or whether your team is around the corner or on another continent altogether, Atlassian software is built to help keep you all on the same page from start to finish. That way, every one of your teams, from engineering and IT to marketing, HR and legal, can stay connected and move together as one towards shared company-wide goals. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian.
Look, Tito says a lot of things, and I can tell you firsthand that I was the third person that interviewed Tito after the press conference. First interview, he said he weighed 216. The second interview, he said he weighed 205. I was the third interview, and he said he weighed 211. So take that however you want.
Amazing how it fluctuates between, okay, wow, the human body is crazy. Yeah.
Okay, so at the same time, that dude, like, here's one thing that's interesting about MMA and pro wrestling and all of this stuff. Like, you watch these guys on TV and you don't really see them in person, and then when you see them in person, like, you get to actually gauge like how big they are. And mm-hmm. Tito, like, always looked like in great shape on TV. I always thought, like, he's a muscular kind of like average guy, like, but in really good shape. He's a fighter. He can kick the crap out of a lot of people. But Tito is a big dude. Like, he is massive. So I'm looking at him, I'm like, how in the blue hell is there any chance you're gonna make 195? Like, I don't know how he got to 205, how big he was. Like, I was amazed. I was shocked at how big he is. But he got down to 200, and he stepped on the scale beforehand and then drank Pedialyte. So there's a very good chance that he got under 200 pounds and just couldn't do anymore. Which is pretty amazing with a guy that big. And one thing that was consistent about all these interviews and what he said from the beginning was, when he found out about this fight, he said he was 240. So he cut 40 pounds in just a few weeks to get here. And then I asked him in the conversation, when was the last time you were under 200 pounds? It'd been over 20 years since he'd been over 200 pounds. So I don't necessarily buy into the fact that Tito didn't give this any effort, because I think he did. I truly think he did. When I saw him this morning, yeah, he was bouncing around in good spirits, but when he stepped up on the scale and did that test weigh-in, he looked pretty rough. I don't think he could have cut another pound. So I will give him all the credit in the world. I think he cut as much as he possibly could. But I do understand, at the same token, if you sign a contract to fight at 195, you're saying, by putting pen to paper, I can make that weight. So I get why Anderson Silva was disappointed. I get why people would be upset about it, because you signed a contract. But at the same time, after standing next to that man yesterday, I was like, there's no chance he gets to 195, which is not physically possible. But so, yeah, I do think he gave the effort, but I just didn't think there was any chance he was going to make it. I even asked Anderson when I interviewed him after the weigh, and I'm like, you really thought he was going to make it? You actually thought he'd make it? And he said, you signed a contract. You're saying you're going to make it. So there you go.
Well, we haven't seen the purse information yet, but I have a feeling Anderson's going to enjoy the 20% that he gets from Tito Ortiz. So
in boxing, yeah. I'm pretty sure he has a flat rate too. It's not like MMA where it's a show and win. So that 20% is actually probably a much bigger 20% even than we're thinking. So because you know usually your salary's cut in half if you lose. So he gets a flat rate. So it's going to be even more. So good on Anderson. Good business.
Yeah. Anderson's walking by me literally right now.
Oh, there we go. He heard us talking about him. Well, no, I think our comments are going to be pretty glowing about Anderson. If I could be wrong, I don't know what you guys are going to say. I'll say right now, I've seen him as high as a -1100 favorite on some of the betting sites. Tito around a +600 underdog. So I don't think expectations have changed much from when this was signed. Again, this is one of the greatest strikers in MMA history versus a guy who's more known as a wrestler and grappler. And again, we just saw him have a very nice boxing performance against Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. So, Casey, what do you think of those odds? Do you think that that's around the right number? Do you think it's a little too high considering both guys are essentially, you know, not boxers? Again, so that's -1100. So, you know, 11 to 1 favorite for the Spider. Too high?
11 to 1 favorite for Anderson?
It's about 11 to 1, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm very confident Anderson's gonna win, but man, 11-1, that does seem kind of crazy considering the just the size difference. But I mean, 5-1.
We should say Anderson came in at 192.6, so he's given up about a little under 8 pounds.
He's going to be fighting at that weight. Tito going to, when he walks into the ring, I expect Tito to be over 225 or so.
Sure, sure.
So, 11-1 favorite is kind of, it's pretty crazy. No, of course Anderson should be the favorite. You know, I would expect that.
He's a comfortable favorite. Again, I don't see why we wouldn't think he should be. What do you guys think of the pre-fight hype? I think there were some good quotes from both sides. I mean, look, we give Tito Ortiz a lot of crap for, not just his opinions, but even when he's just strictly talking about fight hype, he's had some comical, unintentionally comical moments. And I feel like for the most part, he kind of avoided that. I think that I kind of thought the Bruce Lee Wing Chun line was kind of funny and that Anderson Silva played off it really well. So trash talk wise and hype as far, because again, this fight actually has had the chance to get hyped, really, unlike Belfort and Holyfield. Mike, how have you kind of liked the build to this battle of former UFC champions?
I mean, like you said, the way I'm viewing this personally, because of my job and what I cover, this is the main event. This is the fight I'm more fascinated about this fight. With this fight than I am with the main event. And it's not even close. It's not even close. So I like it. I think it's good. Like, you're not going to get Anderson to get into that sort of battle with the trash talk and things like that. But I think Tito had some good lines yesterday. I think maybe the appearance from Donald Trump Jr. and then Trump on the phone before he gave his prediction maybe inspired him a little bit more. But I fully thought with the weight cut and two just – you know, just taking the fight kind of as seriously as possible. I didn't think we were going to see much of that, but then we got some glimpses. We got some of that Tito gold at the end of the press conference and even speaking with him afterwards. So it's been pretty good. It's pretty much what I hoped for heading into this thing. And to me, this is the main event in my eyes, just because of what I do and what I cover. So I'm looking forward to it.
Casey, who's going to win this one? Who wins the people's main event, the MMA people's main event?
Anderson Silva versus Tito Ortiz at a catch weight of 195, what, 200 now, whatever. 200. Anderson should win. I think he'll win a easy decision. It'll be, I kind of want to see a knockout. I mean, I don't know. Just like, I know the Anderson Chavez fight, it was fun to watch, but I feel like, we've been seeing all these kind of, you know, MMA guys come to boxing, and is this the first one we have actually two MMA guys doing boxing? I know we've kind of had all these like circus matches.
Yeah, that's kind of hope high profile has to be, right?
Yeah, it's like the most high profile of just two high profile Hall of Fame MMA dudes boxing now. I just think it's still weird because why can't this just be an MMA match? Like, I mean, we're right there. Come on, guys. Let's switch gloves out. Let's just do an MMA match.
But Scott Coker couldn't have made this one. Or Triller. Why doesn't Triller?
Yeah.
You could do it on the same card.
Same card, yeah.
They fight on the same card.
I just think it's just a weird... Everything's weird. Everything's weird about this. Anderson should win. We've all seen enough of them in their stand-up to know that Anderson is a better striker, just of hands alone. If this was an MMA match, maybe I would still actually pick Anderson. But obviously, the odds would be like 11-1. But if it's just hands, boxing only, Anderson should win this easily. And Tito, like you said, like what Mike said, Tito is he. I mean, Bob Tito's faults. Physically, he is a physical specimen. He is a big dude. Like you said, get him going down to 205 is always impressive. In fact, when he fought Chuck Liddell, the gym I was training at, Tito would come to that gym and grapple at night, and I would just watch him wrestle. I'm like, dude, he is a beast wrestling. And he was doing some pad work and stuff. Nothing kind of blows you away, him doing pad work and stuff. Just it was throwing kicks, just punches. But he looked solid. He looked like he knew what he was doing. He looked like, you know, he looked solid. Nothing was crazy, but just fundamentals were there. But Anderson's still Anderson. He's still a once in a generation, once in a lifetime type of striker. So yeah, Anderson should style on Tito. And actually, he's gonna knock Tito out, mostly because I think Anderson is smart, and I don't believe Anderson when he says he thought that he was gonna make 195. I think the hope was, in my opinion, he cuts down, doesn't make it, you still get a good chunk of change from that weigh-in the money, because he doesn't make the weight, so he gets that 20%, and Tito is now extra dehydrated, your brain's gonna rattle a little more. And Tito spent so much of his camp not actually boxing, but he spent most of his camp doing road work and just trying to drop that weight. So he just didn't train boxing as much. He was training to cut weight. So and for Anderson, all he had to do was just work on his boxing. He's basically fighting at his in-shape weight. So to me, this is all Anderson Silva, and he should dominate Tito. And yeah, he'll
give me a round.
He'll
give me a round.
Oh, how many rounds is that? It changes all the time. What is this?
Eight rounder.
Two minute rounds.
I believe so.
Yeah, 2 minute rounds. Okay, 2 minute rounds might make it a little more difficult, but let's go 6 round knockout. Anderson Silva.
Okay. Knockout. A KO, not a TKO.
Knockout.
Dang. Mike, what are you saying? I'm assuming you're picking Anderson Silva. Is he gonna get it? You picking a finish?
No, I think he wins the decision. I think it's going to be one of those fights where we're going to be like, all right, Tito showed a little heart in there. I think it's going to be one of those situations, but I think Anderson wins comfortably.
I think Tito will look like he won't look washed. I mean, I think Tito will look like a guy who wants to knock out his opponent, but it's just, you know, he's fighting Anderson Silva. That's all.
Yeah, I would love to be surprised and for this to be a more sort of competitive fight. Maybe Tito has some crazy hands that we've just never seen before. But I think that you were right, Casey, that like he's had no time to prepare as much as he properly should be able to for a boxing bout because so much of it is just cutting weight. So, but I'm with Mike. I don't think we see a knockout. I do think it's sort of more of a convincing Silva decision. Probably, possibly a shutout, possibly 8 rounds to nothing. At worst, probably 6 rounds to 2. But I would be shocked if Tito won more than a round. This just seems like a matchup tailor made for Anderson Silva outside of the size. Yeah.
I could definitely see Tito winning some rounds, but mostly due from Anderson being very patient at the beginning and just kind of, you know, letting Tito kind of show his hand before Anderson, you know, lets loose, you know, which he's done before. You know, Anderson kind of, you know, is a slow starter on purpose, not because he just isn't warmed up. But so I expect that.
Now, Mike, again, you're on site. You're a little bit more deeply immersed in this card. Again, so we also have David Haye fighting Joe Fournier, who was on a previous Triller card. Andy Vences versus John O'Carroll. Anthony Chavez versus Duel Olguin. I'm sorry, I definitely butchered that. And we had an undercard fight. Oh, Eliezer Silva and Terry Roscoe. So I guess there's probably an obvious choice of what other, you know, kind of deep cut there is, Mike. But outside of the two main fights, what are you looking forward to?
I mean, I think Joe Fournier was the star of the press conference yesterday. Mm. He was hilarious. And him and David Hay have a relationship, and they're selling it as friends become enemies. But enemies are also friends, because apparently they were having like some food and a couple of bevvies together last night. So, but yeah, I mean, David Hay fighting on this card, I don't think a lot of people expected that to happen. And a lot of people were surprised when they found out this week that he was fighting on this card. So to me, it's got to be that. And outside of that, the deepest cut is seeing Snoop Dogg and do a performance with Marvin Gaye. Trill is bringing back Marvin Gaye for this event. It's amazing.
Marvin Gaye, who died in 1984, will be performing with Snoop Dogg. That is, I guess, the headlining musical act. For anyone who's not familiar with Triller, this is what Triller does. They don't just give you boxing or they give you a combat sports entertainment experience. It was loaded for their very first Triller Fight Club with very current Justin Bieber, the Black Keys, a Doja Black Cat Keys. Was there. A Doja Cat showed up, whatever that is.
Major Lazer.
Yes, Major Lazer.
Mount Rushmore or something.
Oh, yes. Mount Westmore, the super group with Snoop Dogg and Ice Cube and several others.
Oh, yeah.
So Snoop Dogg will be coming back. I believe he's also kind of serving as like the MC, I think. But he'll be performing, yes, with Marvin Gaye in some capacity. Could be a very basic, like Marvin Gaye's on a screen. A lot of people are hoping hologram.
Fingers
crossed, that's the hope. So we don't know. It could be a very basic setup. You know, there's so much things you can do with technology these days. Outside of that, tell me if you guys are familiar with any of these musical acts. Anita with two T's. Lunay. And apologize for pronunciation. And Gente de Zona. So a lot of Latin flavor. We've got, again, Anita is from Brazil, Lunay from Puerto Rico, and Gente de Zona from Cuba. So I apologize. I'm not familiar with these musical acts, guys. If there are these really, you know, spicy musical acts, I apologize for ignorance. But I think that's, I don't know, sounds like it'll be a fun show, fun high energy show outside of it. Casey, I wanted to give you the chance to speaking of kind of the whole circus around it. I wanted to give you the chance to speak on, you felt very strongly about sort of how these legends have kind of been treated and talked about in the lead up to this event compared to other combat sports, to put it that way. Please, the floor is yours.
Oh, well, what the other combat sport I was talking about was actually pro wrestling. So if you want to call that a sport, go for it. No, I was just
real,
more...
Oh, real sport. Yeah.
Yeah, real sport. The I was just one. More... And I'm putting blame on the media too. I'm putting blame on me, us, the fans too. I'm not just saying you.
What?
You, okay. But just, I was more just interested in just how things are so different between, because I just saw the All Out, AEW's All Out pay-per-view last Sunday. And that was like actually the first pay-per-view all right, here's my money. I'm going to watch this pay-per-view. And it had lots of veterans, like obviously CM Punk made his return. Mm-hmm. I think CM Punk's like 40 something. Chris Jericho had a great match. Minoru Suzuki, guys were like 45 plus, you know. And the way just the fans just kind of came around and just gave these guys just an enormous pop and just had this incredibly awesome energy. It was just very refreshing. And then it was just the juxtaposition going from that straight into this week where it was like, these guys are old, they suck. Why are we watching these old people fight? And it just felt like, it was just this very negative vibe, and especially with the move to Florida and just Vander Holyfield coming on, you know, everyone kind of suggesting, he has CTE. Look, he came and saved a complete sentence, you know, without taking 2 hours to say it. We lost Mike. So I was just more-
We're going back.
We're going back. I just think it's very interesting how MMA fans, and this is media too, because I think I said the same thing, you know, pretty much it's like, oh, what a train wreck, you know. But last week it was wrestling, the same guys who are way past their prime, their athletic prime, and we can see that Chris Jericho can't do the same stuff he used to do, but we're still excited to watch it. I know Minoru Suzuki isn't the same wrestler he used to be, but we're still excited to watch it. And I just wonder why we can't be that way for our real fighting, you know.
Yeah.
I get fake fighting. This is real fighting. So it's just such a different world. And in I think wrestling is still way more dangerous than actually MMA or boxing. I think wrestling is way more dangerous. So it's not about the safety for the athletes, you know, in either sports, you know, wrestling, pro wrestling or MMA. I just like, I just wonder why we can't be excited for Evander Holyfield, for Vitor, for all these guys just doing what they love and just, and let it be like that. And just like, all right, you know what? Let's just enjoy it. And hopefully everyone comes out relatively safe, you know?
Yeah. Afterwards. I mean, I definitely agree with the overall sentiment, Casey. I will say, of course, when it comes to the world of professional wrestling, there's a little more you're right. There's high risk, there's danger. There's a little more control over the risk and the danger as opposed to, again, live, real fighting where there's just so many variables that that can't be controlled. So, I mean, for sure, it's not the same thing. But I agree that there is this negativity we have in combat sport, in MMA, in real combat sports that is like pervasive.
Every time a fighter loses or slightly past their prime, we're like, he needs to retire. Like, how many times have we tried to retire, you know, Cerrone or wherever after he gets his butt kicked? You know, we can name this a million times. You know, like JDS gets knocked out, you know, retire. Overeem gets knocked out, retire. You know, that's just, it's just this thing that MMA, this constant negative presence rather than like, hey, let's just control maybe who they fight next time rather than just putting these guys out the pasture all the time. And it's just this negative energy all the time. Just look on, read the comments. That's all. Just read the comments. These are the comments. They're not fake. These are fans. Everyone writing all this stuff, you know, oh, wrestling's fake. Yes, I know it's fake, guys. I know fighting is real. I know wrestling's fake. I'm aware of that. But I'm also aware of the dangers, even in fake fighting, too.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I do see a couple of comments. Guys, if you don't know how dangerous pro wrestling is or why it's more dangerous than than like actual combat sports, I would recommend do some research. That's all. Because we could go on for like an hour about it. Yeah. And obviously you don't want to hear that. You don't hear us nerd out about that crap. So, but it is definitely on a day-to-day basis, a much, much more.
Yeah. It just came right after this, you know, big pro wrestling event.
There's a big contrast.
Like, and yeah, big contrast. It just went from like high energy positivity to like, oh, you know, this sucks, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just, it kind of threw me off, threw me for a little bit of a loop. Rather than just saying, hey, guys, have fun. Do what you love. Mm-hmm. You know, we all believe in freedom. You know, just like, you know what? You want to get out there and have fun? Do it. You know, you know the risk. You know, prepare yourself and go out there. That's all.
I see someone asking, did Mike, was he blocking the handicap access? Yeah, maybe that's why. He may have just gotten kicked out. We'll try and get him back, guys, before we head off. Mike, Casey, I see a lot of some questions. I don't know. Are we doing a pre-fight Q&A? Are we going to do a pre-fight Q&A?
I don't think we are, actually.
Okay. But there will be a post-fight show.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can bring up some comments. Yeah, but I just want people. So they're probably – get a few questions in now, guys. There probably won't be a show. Yeah, right. So we'll answer some questions here because, I don't know if there'll be a pre-fight.
We're not sure where Mike is right now. So what
channel? Again, guys, remember, he's on site in Florida. Literally anything can happen there. I heard they're letting Evander Holyfield box. Yeah. So
that's the motto of Florida. Anything can happen. Yeah, I don't know.
And in parentheses, we let Evander Holyfield box here. That's going to add that. They're going to add that to the Florida website. Like,
all right.
We have some very reasonable questions. I see a lot of questions. Very reasonable questions and concerns. We saw a lot of that.
Was he originally on the card? Like, how did you find the musical acts? Like, I was wondering about that. You know,
Shout outs to badlefthook.com who had an update on that. I think as of yesterday, what the music acts were. A few weeks ago. Sorry.
We didn't even talk about this, but it needs to be talked about.
Yes, I'm sorry. That's right. When I wanted to mention the circus, won't people pay just to hear Trump commentary? Ha ha. Thank you, Peter O, for the question. I don't know if that's something to laugh about because I do think there are. Look,
I'm gonna tune into the Trump commentary. I will.
Full disclosure. I'm not a fan of Donald Trump. I'm pretty anti-Trump. I'm just gonna be so take my opinion with that particular grain of salt. But I do think that there are a lot of people who are fans of the previous president who. Gosh, I don't know if it'll make them want to, you know, necessarily. If they were on the fence, let me put this way: if there's people that are on the fence, they might be compelled just to check it out. And I saw questions earlier, like, will he mention the stolen election, things like that? There's prop bets, by the way, for all these kinds of stuff, guys. You can find those prop bets on: will Trump say this? Will Trump say that? I think he's going to say all the stuff. Like, if you're looking at those prop bets, parlay a bunch of stuff, making fun of Joe Biden, stolen election. There's like, imagine there's a split decision. Oh my gosh, he'll jump right in there.
Just count the recounts, count the ballots, you know.
Make America great again. Find whatever your favorite Trumpisms are, guys. Find them on these prop bets and parlay all this stuff, because he'll be talking a lot. I assume he's not just doing the main event, right? He's going to be doing Donald Trump Jr.
I would say this.
He's going to play all the greatest hits.
Yeah. Regardless of what we think about Trump, that's not what actually was important to me. What I like about this, actually, and I like that Triller is doing this. I wish there were alternative commentaries for fights all the time. I wish we could have this option. The technology is there. You just need a couple of microphones and a little mixer. You can do it. For UFC events, I wish there was an option where the commentary is completely turned off. We're not mute, but you can still hear the sounds of the crowd and everything. So you get because you know, people, you're influenced by the commentary all the time. Well, give me a chance to watch the fight with no commentary, but I can hear the punches, I can hear the crowd, I can hear the corner screaming. So I can still feel the atmosphere and not just have it muted, because everyone's like, well, just mute it. It's like, I don't know, watching a fight on mute is even worse than watching a bad commentary to me. So, tip of the hat to Triller for thinking outside the box and having alternative commentary for this. This is smart. I like this. I like this a lot.
Triller is like the XFL, okay? I don't know how long this Triller thing is going to last. By all accounts, they're spending a lot of money. They're touting that their events are having a lot of success. So hopefully for them, they are kind of recouping all their expenses and everything. But again, there's reason to be skeptical that that's the case. Because again, think about the musical acts they're signing up. Think about all the stuff. Bring in someone like Donald Trump. That's not cheap. I heard they're whining and dining him too, flying him around, flying him in, things like that. So this stuff costs money, and unless they're hitting like UFC pay-per-view numbers on the regular, which is doubtful, I don't know how long it's going to last. But like you said, Casey, I think a lot of their ideas are so good. I love the musical acts thing.
It's different.
I'm not saying I would want every UFC show to have a musical act, but if, let's say, once now and then, every big show, you had less fights, so it wasn't like an 8-hour card. And I would love you threw a musical act in there. Again, I know I'm in the minority in this. I can see the MMA fans rebelling, actively rebelling as they listen to this. But just anything to do to mix it up, just to break up the monotony of a show, I think is cool. So like I said, I don't know how long Triller's going to last, but I think there are people who are going to steal a lot of Triller's ideas in the future.
And just think about it. And seriously, if there's a big knockout, you know, either the main or co-main, you know what's going to be the big viral hit is Trump's call
for
the knockout.
Yep.
And him going, I'm not even going to do a Trump impression, but no, but you just imagine if Tito gets knocked out cold, or Anderson gets knocked out cold, or, you know, whatever. And then Trump, you know, doing his, you know, Joe Rogan, you know, all that stuff. So, it's great promotion by Triller. And, I saw like on TMZ, you know, they want Barack Obama to do it too next time, you know, whatever, but, good on them. That's all.
Yeah. Look, we're talking about it. We're talking about him. We're talking about it. We're talking about the show. And we're not the only ones. I guarantee there's a lot more people who became aware that this card was even happening because of Trump's involvement. So if this gets Triller a few extra buys, I mean, I hope it was worth it because it very well could. It very well could. It's not a terrible strategy at all. What other comments we got?
A couple of comments.
I don't know if we're getting Mike back. So
no, I think Mike's gone. I think he went to the craft fair. real quick, we just talked about this Tito missing weight. If you watch Tito's very first press conference, the little virtual press conference, Tito laid about, you know, if he talks to say for 30 minutes, about 10 minutes of that was about how he lost respect for Anderson for making him cut weight, and basically he was laying out the excuses of him not making weight. So this was not a surprise at all. The fact that he got to 200 honestly was a surprise to me. To me, this was all strategy by Anderson Silva to make Tito basically train on cutting weight and not train on boxing. And this is boxing. Boxers don't actually cut as much weight as MMA guys. They definitely don't cut as much weight as wrestlers do, because there is so much head trauma, and you need that fluid in your brain to, you know, cushion it, because it's gonna be bouncing around a lot. So I hope Tito actually, well, it's in Florida, so we should be good, but I hope Tito passes his post-weigh-in medicals and all that, because I don't know if they're doing hydration tests and things like that, but that to me, that's the biggest safety concern, rather than Holyfield, because Holyfield is fighting at his walking weight. Tito has been dehydrated, so that's when you have issues and long-term damage from the big weight cuts. So
yeah.
Anything else you want to add to that?
I was going to say, look, Anderson Silva all day. I'm a big fan of the Spider, but if you don't think there's some gamesmanship in him picking again, 195, him negotiating a 195 pound fight as opposed to 200 pound fight or even 198 or anything like that, then again, that's a little naive. Yeah. I think him and
because Anderson has fought at 205. He's fought tough opponents. He fought Forrest Griffin at 205, you know, at 206, whatever. So we know that Anderson could have gone up to that weight easily if he wanted to, but he's smart.
He knows he's the A side. Hey, he's the A side in this fight. He can make demands. I just want to shout out someone in the comments. Marco Bucci. Shout outs to Stouffville. Shout out to Stouffville, Ontario. So I'm sorry, I had to do that for you. I got to do it for my people.
Just throw a comment out there.
Here. Richie Elgar says Vitor is so explosive. He's 100% going to land on Evander. But will that old Holyfield chin kick in or will he crumble? Is the only question. Gosh, I don't want to find out. I actually think Richie's right. I think we are going to find out. I really don't want to.
We'll see how explosive he is and see if explosiveness makes up for lack of boxing technique and simply being the smaller fighter, the shorter fighter. And Evander is so good at boxing. I can't reiterate that enough. Like he said, I'm not a good fighter. I'm a boxer. And boxing is very different. And we'll see. This is what I kind of wonder too, going back to this. We saw this Mike Tyson, Roy Jones stuff and everything. We have these kind of plus 50-year-old boxers kind of doing things like this now. How long will this last if we see one of these guys get knocked out cold? Are we going to be like, oh, maybe I don't want to see this anymore? And I think right now we're not playing with fire, but I think you can do this as long as we don't see one of these guys out cold. And eventually it will happen. I mean, that's what the sport is. So, I mean, Mike Tyson, Roy Jones looked like, a hard sparring fight. But what if Mike Tyson was knocked out cold? What if Roy Jones knocked out cold? What if Evander gets just flatlined and we're like, if the guy was 22 or 24, we'd be like, that's fighting. But now, we have these, almost 6-year-old men get knocked out cold. Are we going to feel the same? I don't know. It hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen eventually.
Yeah, and not just again. I talk about a guy who hasn't fought since 2011. He's retired. Yeah. This wasn't like, oh, he's kind of in and out of combat sports still. Mm-hmm. He's cleanly. Yes, he was going to come back to fight a Kevin McBride. So there's a whole other thing going on there. Like it didn't just happen. He was in talks earlier this summer to have another sort of weird comeback fight. But that was somehow different than this. This just feels so disorganized and chaotic. It's Geoffu saying, "Bro, old people can fight." I'm like, well. I bet Evander can. That's for sure. Yeah. But I mean, to the original question, it's like I don't want to find out because I do think he is going to get cracked, and I don't know. I don't know. I don't care how long you've been boxing for, or what in great shape you're in. At some point, you are a 59-year-old man who has a lot of wear and tear on him. I don't know how many more big shots you can take, but that's why that's part of the intrigue, and I guess part of what why some of us are tuning in on Saturday. Let's get a couple more case, a couple more comments/questions before we sign out here. Ramses, what day is the fight? It is Saturday. It will be, I believe, it starts around 7 p.m. It will be on Fight. You can order through Fight. And I would recommend doing so through our website, of course, guys. Just find any article about Triller Fight Club /Legends 2/ Holyfield Belfour, and we have a link in all of these articles. Order through there through MMA Fighting. You're not getting any sort of discount or anything, but it's just that's what the cool kids do. Order the fight through MMA Fighting. All right, so but yeah, it'll be on Fight. Fight.tv.
Yeah, and
FITE.TV, by the way.
This is gonna be the last question we're taking.
All right, what do we got from Kyle? Is this event actually occurring, or is this a collective fever dream we're all having? A timely question, Kyle, especially with the release of the Matrix Resurrections trailer, which just came out. Was it today? Yesterday, I believe. Once again, I think we do find ourselves questioning what is real. I think a lot of us have been taking the blue pill, or at least thought we were. It looks like we are taking the red pill tomorrow. Or am I mixing up my metaphor, Casey? Is this we're still on the blue pill because we're seeing this event happen?
Yeah, I think we're on the blue pill still. Guys. Yeah.
Please, guys, Matrix nerds, please correct me in the I've seen all the movies, but it's been a while. It does seem happening. Bizarre. Casey, I said so many times, this is not gonna get cleared. Again, they're just going to bump up Silva and Ortiz, or they're going to move the event to another date. Like, how can you, how could a guy who's been retired for 10 years get cleared to compete? And I underestimated the power of what they call commission shopping. Apologizes. I don't apologize. I am calling Triller out for this. This is classic commission shopping. This is,
I don't hate Triller for commission shopping, because the UFC has done this plenty of times, commission shopped. So,
sure.
So don't, I'm not, this is promotion is not, 101. This is like,
Triller did not, there's a reason we have a phrase for it. Triller did not invent this.
They didn't invent this at all.
They just knew they had a very, a clear path to get, to make this fight happen. Mm-hmm. And they took that path and they did it. They have gone again to the majestic land of Florida. It'll be taking place in Hollywood, Florida on Saturday, like I said, 7 p.m. at Hard Rock, excuse me. Yes, Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood, California. So, oh, sorry, excuse me. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood, Florida. So let's make sure we get that right. I don't know. Kyle, I don't, are we going to wake up? I mean, do we need to wake up, Casey?
I don't know. This is Are we in the simulation right now?
There's a compelling argument that we are. Huh. Again, that's a whole, I don't want to go full Joe Rogan on this sitch, but
yeah,
there's a compelling argument that we are.
We got to turn this off. I got to hit the DMT, whatever. Yeah. I got to figure this out. Yeah. I got to enter the other realm.
Listen, this stuff is evidence. If you want to talk about Paul Woodley, you want to talk about this, Paul Askren, Logan Paul Mayweather, Ngannou Jones not happening. I don't know, guys. There's all these signs that we're just not living, that maybe we're living.
Carla Esparza not getting her title shot.
Esparza not getting a title shot. We're not living in the best of all possible realities. But yeah, guys, there's all kinds of directions to go with this. Either way, in about 24 hours, a little over 24 hours now, this is actually going to happen. Evander Holyfield's coming back.
And poor Mike. I don't know where Mike is.
He's fighting Vitor Belfort. Mike maybe he took the red pill and got out of here.
Yeah.
Maybe he is. You know what, guys? I think Mike took the red pill. And he is maybe freer than all of us. But I'm glad. You know what, guys? There's no one else I would rather be trapped in a simulated reality with than you, Casey, and with our listeners and viewers. You guys are the best for tuning into this stuff. We're all in this together. Enjoy the show if you decide to tune in. Again, 7 o'clock Saturday night on FITE.TV, Fight TV, or through MMAfighting.com. Thank you, Casey. Thank you, Mike, wherever you are out there in the real world. This is Alexander Kaley signing off for our preview show.
Hi, guys.
Boxing, kind of MMA, but not really.
It's not a catchy chant.
Okay, I'll work on it. First try. Give me a break.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.